This is the beginning of a church year, as I said, and I really feel God is calling us to consecrate ourselves, and I'm asking you to open up your hearts and your lives to what the Spirit of God is saying to us today, every day, but specifically today, that He would speak to our lives. And so the last few weeks, Lori and I have had the privilege of being all over the place in Alberta and sitting with pastors from all over the place, as we met this week with a MFI friends of ours that we're part of from all over Alberta, and Lori and I were in Grand Prairie last week, and just a couple of different settings, and just the call of God to Himself for His church and for His people. And I thank God for what He's doing in this province and what He wants to do more. And so I'm asking you to open your heart this morning. Last week, Eric and Candace and Lori and I were with Summit Life Church. As you know, over the summer, we visited them a couple of times. Different guys went, took teams and preached with them, encouraged them. And so we just encourage you to keep praying for them. But while we were there last week, it just was burning on my heart to invite Eric to come and just share and set us up for this season. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to fix everything that he's messed up. And I'm going to give a call to everyone in this church. And I know a lot of leaders have gone out to take care of kids and all of that. But I have something intentional in my heart that I believe God's put there. So I'm going to invite you, Eric, come and share. Open up your heart this morning.
Where's Isaiah when you need him? Yeah, thank you, Jen. Appreciate that. I want to follow up on our conversation about Galatians 2:20 a few weeks ago that I know brought you immense joy as you listened to it, freedom, and I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, and you do have your Bible, of course, why would you come to church without your Bible? Philippians chapter 2, read a few verses out of it, and I'll refer to Luke 9:23. And I want to, we want our heart to be set on Christ, who went to the cross, who emptied himself. Yes, there was glory, there was exaltation, there was power. His name was lifted above every name. His dominion is an eternal dominion, but not before the cross. And what I want, the line I want you to have in your heart this morning is that before you can be filled with the Spirit, you need to be emptied of self. You have to be emptied before you can be filled. And if we think God's not willing to empty us or unable to empty us, go home and read the book of Job today. Philippians chapter 2. So let me pray. Father, let the word of the Lord just come to hearts, my heart, our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind, this attitude, this disposition in yourselves. It's like he's saying, this is your North Star in your mind. This is your North Star. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So again, I want you to know, I want to remind you that there is no life in the Spirit without the death of the cross. And we have to stop mythologizing and we have to stop allegorizing the cross of Jesus as if it was a thing out there and it represents a story that happened. And the truth is that it is done. Jesus paid it all. It is finished. You're not. He's done. You're not. I think about the law. I think as I just read through the law and I begin to hear the heart of God in the law and how deep the law, not only the Ten Commandments, but the broader application beyond the 612 actual commandments in the Bible, the nature of the law and the life that it called Israel to, and how utterly impossible it was to actually fulfill the law. And time and again, the prophets realized nobody can keep the law. Then here comes Jesus, who takes the law in all of its glory, in all of its requirements, and Jesus' words go deeper than the law. It's not just about do this and don't do that and watch this and don't practice that. Jesus begins to speak to the heart. And he says, it's not enough not to commit adultery. You have to not want to commit adultery. It's not enough to not murder somebody. You have to remove hatred from your heart. And if you could not do the external keeping of the law, how in the world are you going to keep the words of Jesus? And Jesus didn't come to bring us a new law. He came to forgive our persistent chronic law breaking and to pour out into the heart of the believer the power of the Holy Spirit through whom we accomplish the work and the will of God. But in order for the Spirit to be poured out in fullness, it needs to be poured out into a vessel of emptiness. And so we come to the cross. I actually wrestled with much of my life thinking, what is my cross? Talk to me about it. What is it? Because Jesus, Paul, they don't describe my cross. And I want them to, because I will pick it up and carry it. The first thing that I want you to know is that you cannot build your own cross. You cannot fashion your own cross, primarily because you just won't do it. You won't. None of us likes to die. It's not a thing we live for. But what the Gospels, what Jesus, what the Word of God promises us is that there is a cross upon which we must die. And it is the purpose of death to be filled with the Spirit of God. We resist the cross. We do not want to walk in the way of the cross. And I would say to you, when I referred to Job before, it is Job's life and experience that illustrates the cross of Christ. It is Job's cross. I have a hard time reading Job. I read it. I try and read it 4, 5, 6 times a year. I struggle with it. So I don't really want that God. That's hard. I recognize in myself, having been a follower of Jesus now for 47 years, in lots of mediocrity and lukewarmness and all kinds of things, I recognize in me now a rebellion to God, a resistance to God. I know what it's like to want to blame God. I'm very polite to God. I only do it in my heart because He doesn't see that. So I don't say it with my lips. I'm very resistant to the cross. And I want self to live. Jesus writes in Luke 9:23-24, if anyone wishes to come after me. So that's a disciple. Okay? Do you want to come after Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? If you're here this morning, you have never heard the call of God to follow. Today you can respond, say, I will follow Jesus. But here's the cost of following. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross every day, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. I want you to just appreciate about your life and about my life and about the life of somebody that would follow Jesus, that it is possible to avoid the cross that God would bring you. It is possible, and I say, and I believe that in eternity there's going to be a vast swath of the church that avoided the cross their whole life. They'll be there because they have faith in Jesus, but they spent their life avoiding the cross of Christ. Well, how can the cross be avoided? Well, I can simply stay in control of my life. I can make my plans. I can have my dreams. I can have my aspirations. And I can add to that a lot of Bible reading, a lot of prayer, a lot of service in church, a lot of fellowship with the church, but entirely avoid the cross of Jesus. If I just stay in control of my life, if I have what I want, if I pursue what I want, if I have dreams and aspirations and think, I'll just add God to this, I can, money can avoid the cross of Jesus, which is why Jesus says how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And of course, it's never really about how much money you have, it's about how much money has you. But money enables us wealth, opportunity, privilege, which equates to distraction from the cross of Jesus. Success, recognition, busyness. You can busy your life. I can busy my life so much that I avoid the cross of Jesus. Pursue achievement. I can avoid the cross of Jesus. Here's two fundamental ways. I just don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And I live my life so busy, so cluttered, so occupied, so driven, so focused, even on ministry, that I don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. I can ignore the Word of God. I cannot be devoted to it. I can read it every day. I can memorize it, but not be devoted to it. My heart. And the last way that I avoid the cross is that I don't deal with a sin in my life. That is the fundamental way that I avoid the cross, that I don't deal with the sin in my life. That I continue in it, that I just walk in it, and that I practice, fail, stumble, come to the altar, get restored, prayed for, make a new determination, and then continue in the same pattern over and over and over and over and over again. Because you will know, and you need to know, that deep down inside you love it. How does that heart change? How does that heart turn? Well, you can't pick your cross. You begin by surrender. You begin by a heart that begins to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you to follow. You cannot build your own cross. You cannot humble yourself. You will spend your entire Christian life pretending and looking like you're a pretty good person but you will not be, I will not be transformed into the image of Jesus. And there are infinite multitudes in the church who are living a very pretentious life because they have avoided the cross. And they are avoiding the cross. You cannot build your own cross. But it is the desire of God. It is the will and intention of God. And I will tell you, it is the fundamental priority of God to build your cross for you. What do I mean by that? Well, God will bring things into your life that will crush you. God will bring things into your life that will just bring you to the edge of yourself. He brings circumstances, he brings adversities, he brings grief, all of which can be avoided if you just turn him out, if you just not listen to him. And I'm telling you this in confidence because I know what it's like for someone. I know what it is to shut God out and to live a life of a follower of Christ on my terms and not his. But the way of the cross is everywhere in the scriptures and in Paul, in that passage we read in Philippians 2, and in Jesus' words in Luke 9:23 and elsewhere, he calls us to the cross. Because it is the only way that can be the end of Eric and the beginning of Christ. So you understand how it connects to Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I die hard, though. I die with difficulty. But God in his mercy will build Helen's cross, and PJ's cross, and Nicole's cross, and Drew's cross. And Drew's cross is his, and Dave's cross is his, and Leonard's is his, and Johan's is his. Because Jesus has a cross for you. It's yours. And he asks you to pick it up daily. And you can't build it, you can't even imagine what it is, but God will bring it into your life if you have a heart to die. If you have a heart to come to the end of yourself and to begin to experience true power in the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus made real in you, where there is victory over sin, where there is power for living and for ministry, where there is fellowship and joy in his church, where this sweet communion with God takes you to places that you cannot imagine, but you cannot get there if self lives in you. God has blessing in abundance, and he has the most amazing gift of the person of the Holy Spirit that he would pour out into your life. If I will die. And it does begin with surrender. And it begins with, I'll use it but not frivolously, those God-awful words, Lord, do whatever you have to in my life. And I know we pray it and we don't mean it. But it's, you understand, it's faith is a mustard seed. Yeah. And that mustard seed is the Word of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit who calls you to come and die, to come and take your cross, and to allow God to do whatever he needs to and wants to make you like Jesus. I shared, and I'm going to close in a second, and Leonard gave me 50 minutes, but I think it was actually 15. This is about life for you. It is about spiritual life. It is about experiencing the presence and the power of the living God in you. But I want to close with two things. First, your death to self, your willingness to take up your cross and follow after Christ. It is an act of love to God who sent his Son to die for you. So Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My death to self is not this teeth grinding, excruciating, empty process. It is a sacrifice of love to the living God who offers you his life in exchange for yours. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gives himself for me. It is a gift, a sacrifice of love to God. But secondly, it's not just about you. It is about a multitude of lost people who are desperate to see Jesus. And they don't need to see a good and proper and self-controlled Christian who's imitating some life. They need to see Jesus. And the only way they will see Jesus is in you. And in order for them to see Jesus in you, you need to be empty of self and full of the Spirit of God who makes Christ real through us. It is a painful process, but it is the only way that you and I can follow Christ, is to allow God to create our path and all the circumstances and all the adversities and difficulties to bring us to the end of ourself, that the life of Christ may be manifested in us. And in that servant who hears the call of the Holy Spirit to surrender to that path, it is the path that is the cross. The path that God will bring to you. It is that path that is your cross. And to the one who walks it is life everlasting and the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And there is no other way to be full of the Spirit. There is no supernatural experience where to all of your life that you have that's so amazing and rich and full and abundant and achievement and money and wealth, and to that God will add the Holy Spirit. No, he won't. No, he won't. But God's promises are good. And he does offer life to anyone who will surrender. So Lord, let your word, I pray, just come to our hearts. And I pray, Father, I pray that the call of Jesus to come would be heard by many. In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Galatians 6, verse 14, Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The three verses that I have on my notes are life verses for me. And the one is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. This one in Galatians. And Matthew, I should have it memorized, 22, verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, mind. It's a great command. All the commands are fulfilled in that. And your neighbor is yourself. God is going to make a big ask of you. And as you know, I listened to Eric preach last week in Summit Life Church. He's talking about John the Baptist and least becoming the greatest. And a couple of weeks ago, just the messages that have been going on in this house about community and about the Spirit of God. And I'm saying, God, what is it you're asking as we head into the fall? And I know God is going to ask big. He's asking big. As I've watched Eric and Candace get crushed, as my German friends would say, it's painful and it's beautiful. And when I hear you preach last week and I hear you again today, and all of us from a place of, if God doesn't show up, I'm praying with people in this altar this morning for family and for healing and for life. And if God doesn't show up, but what he's, here's the word I have. He's going to make a big ask. And I'm asking you to say yes. I want to say yes to this of dying. My 3 points were, the cross shows us how much God loves us. If we ever get a glimpse of that, how much he hates sin. And Paul is a preacher on it, wretched man, you know. It's like, we have to come to that place where we hate sin in our life. Disgusted with sin in our life. And the cross shows us, you know, we can't. It costs the blood of Christ, and we cannot just excuse it. And it's our weakness, and you know, as you're saying, we just get over it. It's like, God, let us die. And then I love what the cross represents to me is that he's able to carry me when I can't do it. He comes and he carries us. But he's asking us to come. He's asking us to follow. He's asking us to commit to him. I'm going to ask the band to come. I have 3 things. Signs of spiritual life is we love God. If you don't have that this morning, if that's not like consuming you, I pray for me to come and work. Holy Spirit, come. And then there's this thing where God, when you're serving him and committed to him and you're walking that path, that taking up that cross, any moment he chooses, he can reach into your life and take what he wants and ask for what he wants. And our response is, yes, Lord, use me, take me, my life, my children, my wife. I dedicate it, I consecrate it to you. And you'll see the fruit. You may die. It'll cost you everything. But there's no better life. And so I'm saying this morning in Joy Life Church, September, August, whatever we're in here, heading into a season, God is making a big ask, and you need to respond. He's asking for your life. No simpler answer. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask our elders and their wives to come and stand with me here. You first. It starts with us. The big ask. And I could go through this row and I could start naming stuff. God knows, they know. Those who know, know. And I want to say yes to God. Yes. So I'm asking us as elders and wives, are you ready to consecrate your life to God? Just renew it, refresh it. Say, yes, God. The path that you choose, I want that path. If it's a narrow path, if it's a hard path, I want your path. And then I'm going to ask all those who are standing here, said they'd lead a life group and host life groups. I want you to come and stand with us. Because I don't want to go somewhere and you're not with us in heart and spirit and life. And this is going to get bigger. I want the worship leaders who are here, lead worship teams to come. Stand with us. I don't want anyone in front of this house leading our kids. And I'm going to say kids ministers, but they're all outside working their heads off. And if you're still here and you're one of those who serves our kids every week, but I got to be careful because almost the whole church will stand up because we have a lot of volunteers. But you know who they are who serve our kids. And we have a mother's group, those who lead that. Toby and Nicole, others sitting on the stage. God help us. We want to ask you as a congregation this morning to consecrate yourself. Come with us as we seek His cross. As we seek the path that He's called each one of our lives, that we'd say yes. And I want the conviction of the Holy Spirit on my life, on our lives, on all of our lives this morning. And you'd say with me this morning, maybe I'll put it this way, God, help me. Help us to take up our cross today. Whatever that may mean, whatever the big ask is. And if you agree with us, I'm going to ask you to just stand as a congregation this morning. You say, I'm in. Thank you, Father. Yes. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Work in my heart. I consecrate myself and my wife. I dedicate my wife, my children, my grandchildren to you, to your purpose, to your kingdom. I ask Holy Spirit for deep conviction this morning to settle on my life and on my heart. On the life of these leaders standing here today. Whatever you ask for, Father, whatever you ask for, whatever you reach into our lives to take, God, we surrender this morning. And we take up that path, we take up that cross that you have prepared for every one of us. And God, if there's someone this morning that needs to bow, let them bow quickly. To you. May we bow our hearts and surrender to you this morning, Father. I pray that this year we would see the move of the Spirit of God in our homes, our places of work, in our church, our families. God, I pray there would be a desire to pray like never before in this house and in our homes. God, give us a heart of prayer. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us a disgust of sin. God, may we become sickened by sin around us. I pray you'd open our spirits and our eyes and our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we would respond with God's grace and God's goodness, but we would be holy. We would be men and women who are consecrated to God. So, Lord, I speak for this church. I ask, God, that this church would be consecrated to you. Cleanse your temple. We are your temple. We are your people. Cleanse our hearts today. And help us to serve you with joy and with passion and with commitment to you, I pray. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Would you just stretch out your hand for a moment towards all the leaders? I forgot a whole group. Our deacons, oh, you're here. Good. Youth leaders, young adult leaders. I don't know who else to say. Would you reach out your hands to these men and women? To us? Would you pray? Could I ask you to lift your voice this morning? Pray for the leaders of this house. Pray they would not shy away from what God is asking, that they would hear His Spirit, lay down their lives for the flock. They would guard their own lives first and guard this flock that you've given us, Jesus. Help us, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray, folk. Will you just pray? I'm asking you to pray out loud. Pray for your leaders. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you. We need you, Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, every leader, every life group, every kid, every family. Jesus, come and have your way. We surrender, Lord. We surrender. We surrender, Lord. We surrender to you and to your ways, oh God. Oh,